Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Are you all right there?
Yeah, I thought I shouldn't say good afternoon just as I was saying it.
Right, because people could be listening to this whenever.
And immediately it takes them out of their... They're probably trying to escape, and I want to hear these two beautiful voices lapping at my ears while I and sending me into a sleepy reverie.
Well, maybe we should speak really quietly but closer to the mic.
Once upon a time, there were two men in a warm flat. One was bald and the other one was not bald. They sat on chairs and they reminisced about the films that they had seen.
Some of the films they had seen were good films. Other films were not so good. But... Oh, that spoiled it, hasn't it?
Oh, my word.
Oh, buddy, you've ruined it.
God, that was terrifying.
Oh, God, we lulled people into a false sense of security. You're
like From Dusk Till Dawn.
You've spoilt some mornings and evenings there, buddy. What have you done?
Oh, apologies for that. I think that was a message from the gods.
Not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Well, hello, we're here to talk about films. Before we do, we should mention that we are sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that promote diversity in film. They started out promoting diversity to get more female voices into
and there were too
cinema.
Many.
Far too many women, so they've moved on to other
disabilities.
I didn't mean unrepresented
that
groups.
That sounds
America.
Like I said that women were disabled, and I do not mean that. I'm the least sexist man in the history of the universe.
Is that right? Well done.
Yes.
Well, how have you achieved that?
I prefer women to men.
Is that how you're less sexist?
I am open to all thoughts.
Wow. I mean, that is both wonderful and creepy.
I'm just trying to backpedal because it inadvertently sounds as if I said that women were
disabled. And we know that's not what you meant. That's not what you meant. Yeah. But it was correct for you to backpedal, I think, rather than just leave that there.
It didn't come out like I meant it to come out.
No.
I bet there's a lot of people tutting their heads quite ferociously at the moment.
It's almost your catchphrase, it didn't come out how it meant to come out, isn't it?
That's happened quite a lot of the time.
You should have it on a t-shirt. It didn't come out how it meant to come out.
Another faux pas. Yet another one.
Wow.
Endless stream.
Well, to get back on topic, Her Film Project promote diverse voices in film. So if you are interested or you're trying to get your film made or whatever, then go to herfilmproject.com and follow at Her Film Project on Twitter. Now, Marek has been to the cinema this week to see a...
film.
A film. And what film is this?
A Man Called Ove.
This sounds like a foreign film to me.
In the Swedish title, En man som heter Ove.
Okay. And what is it? What's it about?
As I said last week, my granddad used to always like horse racing, and his way of betting is he always used to bet on beaten favourites.
Right.
Which is a favourite who hadn't won the previous outing.
Ah, so they think would have tried extra hard. So had it in them. But
yeah, so he used to look for that. And if you look at the racing in the back of the pages, it sometimes says in initials next to them, BF, which means beaten favourite. So as well as
not boyfriend.
Not boyfriend.
Not that horse is your boyfriend.
Yeah. or
best friends.
Phallus.
No, that's pH.
Big phallus. big fun thing.
Big finger. Beef finger.
Sorry, maybe it does mean that. Anyway, this was a nominee for best foreign language film. You know it's going to be good,
right?
It's quite odd because I watched this recently with, and I watched Tony Urban recently, and which I talked about last week, and they're both quite similar films of an old man. This man's a bit older, in his 60s, who is doesn't function within the normal realms of the world. So this, in the case of Ove, he's really bad tempered. Man whose wife has clearly recently died and lives alone on this sort of weird sort of estate, sort of not, where it sort of feels like it's not a common, it's probably a estate where everyone's, you know, similar houses,
yeah.
And he's the one who makes sure no bikes are parked in the wrong places, there's no litter dropped, he's just the enforcer of the a real sort of job's worth on the estate, and he hates everyone. I mean, I could sympathise with him quite a lot. A very good comparison of the piece is Tony Erdman, Apologies for My Coughing, because whereas that has very limited structure and is quite free and loose and you're following around almost like a fly on the wall documentary,
right,
this is very tightly structured and it flicks between Ove's current life where some new neighbours moving across the road and doesn't like them, and it gradually tells his story from of how he became this man, so with a series of flashbacks from his,
like the beginning of Up.
Yes, a bit like that, but not, I mean,
not as sad.
Yeah. It is, yeah, it's, there's no fat on this at all. It's really tight filmmaking. It's based on a very popular novel. I didn't realise that when I walked past the bookshop and I saw it in the window. It's excellent. A really excellent, thoroughly enjoyable film.
Who's one made of these it?
Films, it was made, written, directed by Hans Holm. Hans Holm. What has he done before? Well, I'll tell you now by looking up on the internet. He's done a series of Swedish films which I've never watched. All right, happy now.
Well, he seems to do the Andersons films, which seem to be like National Lampoon's Vacation by the looks of the poster. The Andersons in Greece. The Andersons Hit the Road.
Oh, and the lead actor is Rolf, a man called Rolf Lassgaard, who I have seen in a couple of other Swedish films. I can't remember.
What are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying, but I see you recognise him. If you've watched lots of foreign films like me, and I can't find the one that I saw that he was in. He plays the Wallander, the actual original Wallander, who's played by
Kenneth Branagh in the British remake.
So he plays the original one. If you ever watched the original one of those, he is excellent. It's just funny, classy, sad. Not really by, it feels very structured and by the sort of numbers, you know, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So I would thoroughly recommend it.
Wow, there you go, A Man Called Ove. And did you say it's currently in the cinema?
Yes.
It is, because it came out in 2015, I think, originally. So maybe that was the Swedish release. And
it's
then
only been released. It was released in July, I think, here. So it's
taken a while to get distribution based on how well it's done overseas, by the sounds of it. But, okay. Well, yeah. And do you think it benefits from a cinema viewing?
You could watch it at home quite easily.
Yeah.
I'll give it 9 Mareks.
Wow.
It's thoroughly satisfying. And... you dislike the character at the start. Well, actually, I agree with a lot of the character sentiments.
Okay, that people are awful and they should obey the rules.
Yes.
Okay.
I find that as I get older, I believe that more.
But did you believe that in the past?
Yeah, I've always
believed. But you were quite an anarchic presence in your youth, Marek.
No, not. I would always. You can be anarchic within the rules.
Yeah, what's that? Just being a bit rude.
I just think that if you're making someone else's, you can do, as long as you don't interfere with someone else's life, it's all right.
Yeah, I agree. I think the older I get as well, the more I think, well, just as long as you don't make other people's life worse, do what you like. And the main culprits of this are noisy people.
I think noisy people should, there should be stricter penalties. I'm not against death penalty for noise.
For noisy people, yeah. Especially, you know, like bus noise or neighbour noise is a big one, isn't it? Neighbour noise is a big one.
To actually play your music out loud on the bus within next to people, I think should just go, well, clearly it's a sign that
it should be,
you're capable.
Like you can have a citizen's arrest. They should have a citizen's execution, where if someone's playing their music on the bus, you're allowed to just stick a machete in their chest.
That's what they do to you. They say, I don't give... What they're saying is, I don't give a shit about your presence.
Yes.
Or imposing what I like on you. I couldn't give a shit about it.
Yes.
So then you should be able to react the same way towards them.
That seems fair to me.
I mean, it might seem quite extreme, but I...
You're right. Actually, on reflection, it's extreme. It's not fair, is it? It's extreme. But it feels cathartic to imagine these things. I'm just looking up Swedish cinema to see what... Because the Scandinavian films sort of blend into one for me in terms of...
Well, that's a bit racist, mate.
Well, it's not really. I mean, I don't speak any of their languages, so I'm just reading it. But Let the Right One In is... It was Swedish, apparently.
Yes, excellent film.
I thought that was excellent. Have you ever seen The Seventh Seal? The original, you know, black and white, playing chess with
I
death.
I don't think I have, no.
Yeah. No, but anyway. Okay, well, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo I've not seen either. But there you go, A Man Called Ove. It's in cinemas now. Why not check it out?
And you can go and watch this one with your nan.
Can I? My nan's dead.
Oh no.
I think it's time for this.
Some people are writing better letters. We like reading them out.
Here is a letter from Stephen Device. Is that his real name?
That's a great name.
If it is his real name, well done, Stephen. The Device family.
Do you think it's pronounced Device or something?
It's spelled Device.
Or Davicci or something.
Davicci. Davicci. Like Leonardo da Vinci.
Stephen Davicci.
Davicci. On the subject of remakes, he says, "Hello, David and Marek. The recent discussion about remakes made me think about how the reason most of them fail is that they are always good films being remade into inferior versions that everyone always compares unfavourably to the superior original version. Surely the trick would be to remake something that showed promise, but which didn't quite work, or just a crap film that you thought you could do better with. I've already thought the case in point with this was the original Highlander film, one of the few 80s films of that ilk that has yet to be remade. It's one of those films that is much better when you're telling someone else about it than when you're actually watching it. Also, it features the inexplicable casting choices of the often barely intelligible English Frenchman Christophe Lambert as the eponymous Scotsman, and the actual Scotsman Sean Connery as the Egyptian, but also somehow sort of Spaniard. A film about immortals boils his 500-year lifespan into a few flashbacks involving pissing around during a duel during the French Revolution and freaking out a Nazi during World War II. In my opinion, it's crying out for someone to do something more interesting with it. Love the show. Thanks." Thank you, Stephen. It's a point someone's made before, actually, about the remaking of shit films. I don't agree in the Highlander stakes. I think sort of Highlander is beautifully flawed. And actually, they've done a lot with it. They made a lot of inferior sequels and a TV series.
Yeah, which is terrible.
So they sort of ran that one into the ground, I'm afraid.
The first time, you know, there's very few films you get really excited by. I think that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I remember when I first watched Aliens was one.
Yeah.
It must have been when I was about 18 or something.
It's the perfect age to watch that, isn't
it? And then I thought that is one of the greatest things. But also, I think I saw Highlander, we got out from the cinema. I watched that when I was about, I think, 1986. Yeah, so I must have been about 12 or 13.
Right.
And thinking it was the greatest film I've ever seen.
It's insanely odd because of all of these choices, the ones Stephen points out. Like, for all, yes, Sean Connery does play an Egyptian, and he's the only man in it who can do a Scottish accent, apart from Celia Imrie, possibly, and James Cosmo, I think, is in it as well. But he is a fantastic mentor figure. He's perfectly
that's
cast.
That's the thing. You've got Christopher Lambert, almost like this bland sort of piece.
Without, but he's odd. He is better than sort of a bland pretty boy in that role, like, because he's so strange.
And his the fact his voice is so odd.
Yes.
Adds to
I'm
it.
I'm from what I should
And you, so you've got, yeah, exactly, Sean Connery is a brilliant, I mean,
and Clank,
you can almost say they saw him in this and then put him in the Untouchables as the mentor.
Yeah. And Clancy Brown is the perfect villain.
The best ever villain. Yeah. One of the best ever villains.
Ramirez.
He's so
good. And the Queen soundtrack's awesome. And Stephen's exactly right. There's so many sort of odd things about this film that it seems to get wrong. But it is oozing with charm. Because everyone is just sort of... It's so charismatic as a film. And that doesn't mean it's perfect from an engineer's point of view, but from an artist's point of view, it is hypnotic.
You'd struggle to get that. I mean, the casting is absolutely mental, but it works perfectly.
Yes, we actually played the casting game on Highlander before. Do you remember who won?
You probably won.
No. As in which, who got cast? I mean, yes, I did win, but
I can't remember anything.
Connor McLeod, you got as... Jamie Lannister, what's his name? Nicholas Costa.
Yes, that's a good choice.
Excellent choice, although less interesting. He would be less interesting, but at least he's got a slightly Dutch accent, so that would help.
He'd be much,
I think it was...
A wrestler, wasn't it, for the Kurgan?
Brock Lesnar was the Kurgan, who would be at least huge and terrifying, although he wouldn't be as charismatic at the dialogue as Clancy Brown. And we had... what's his name from Skyfall and Vicky Cristina Barcelona? Javier Bardem.
Yes.
No Country for Old Men.
I think he would have been great.
He would, but again, he's almost a better Kurgan now. Thinking about it, like, he would have been a terrifying Kurgan. It's that mentor figure, just the twinkle in Sean Connery's eye in that era. It's beautiful. Like, I love him in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade as well, which is around that time. When he stopped wearing the wig, basically, and embraced being an old man. At the end of Robin and Prince of Thieves as well. It's just like, he's perfect in this.
You know? I mean, I've got such... It's that thing, isn't it, where the first time you hear... I always think with songs as well. I always think, for some reason, the Human League, who did Don't You Want Me Baby...
Yeah.
I mean, his voice, what's his name, isn't the best singing voice. It's sort of slightly out of tune. But it's so tied in with, you know, Don't You Want Me Baby, and almost so that any cover version automatically sounds...
It's always over-processed.
And wrong, because you're so used to hearing songs for the first time with a certain voice to it. So it's always harder to do the sequel. I don't know why I've used that example of music, but for me, music does feel...
I know what you mean. But it is this thing of filing off all of the rough edges until actually what remains is technically perfect and utterly dull. I think it's a very hard thing to actually create the correct method to get something that people are going to fall in love with. In terms of remaking shit films, it makes perfect logical sense, and sadly, to go get boring for a moment, no financial sense, because the only reason people want to remake films is that it's already something people love, and so that intellectual property, that title, people will go and see again, and we do. We fall for it every single time.
I think, one, if it's a great novel, then and the novel stands as a big... it could be remade. Yes. I mean, for example, I've never seen all of it, but I was reading Dune. It was, you know, the great science fiction novel.
I've got it upstairs. I haven't read it yet.
I think I lost it, but I read about three quarters of it, and it was just fascinating and totally original.
Yeah.
And the film did ever work but you could I'm surprised they haven't remade June.
Well, they have. There was a TV series.
Oh, was there?
And, yeah, and they're remaking it now as well.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, so it is happening.
Oh, God, I'm out of touch.
Yeah, yeah. But, because it's epic, isn't it? It feels more like a TV show, Dune, these days. Like, there's so much in it. David Lynch's film sort of managed to sort of do very well for what it was, an epic narrative where there weren't as many examples of this kind of story about for him to learn from other people's mistakes. Like, he just went for it.
Could be like Game of Thrones, I think. But the thing with Dune, yeah. And now, because of that precedent of TV shows now being sold worldwide and having that budget, and Game of Thrones being just as big as or bigger than most films.
Yes.
The budget is there to do these huge blockbusters fantasies now.
Well, according to IMDb, it's in development. There's no date released yet, but Denis Villeneuve is directing it. The guy who directed Arrival is doing Dune.
Oh.
So we'll see if that's any good. And the TV series was in 2000. But there's been lots of them. I've come back to it again and again, as if you're interested in cinema, it's a fascinating documentary, Jodorowsky's Dune, about an eccentric artist filmmaker's aborted attempt to adapt Dune into a film. It is wonderful. Do watch that. Track it down. It's on streaming services and iTunes and all the rest.
Okay
then. Yeah. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the next episode is our 300th episode.
Wow, 300, guys.
Why not write in with some information
about
something?
Why not pitch us your film? If you can do it in a paragraph, a single paragraph, and we'll pick our favourite film we think should be made.
That'd be really good, yeah.
Although by the time this goes out, you probably won't have to.
But we'll just send out ideas for films. It's quite a new thing to do.
Why not get in touch and tell us? We will pick our favourite one. This is kind of competition now, isn't it? So send us your idea for a film that you think Marek and I would enjoy. So go to filmfandango.com and put your idea for a film into our contact box.
I feel excited now for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to make your film. Don't worry, we're not going to steal your film idea, but we can't promise
that someone else
another listener won't steal your film idea.
So just send us your second best idea.
That you weren't
really going to ever make.
Yeah, that one. The one you don't know how to make. Maybe that's a good idea.
So not Bumming Man, but it'll be the second best one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it'll be like Dog Shaver.
Dog Shaver. It sounds like a Bond film, I think. Dog Shaver. No? Can you not imagine Shirley Bassey singing Dog Shaver?
Oh, I have now. I can't get out of my head. You've seen something, haven't you?
I've seen a film, Marek, yeah. As I tend to sometimes, I was scrolling through all of the options you now have on a smart TV of films you can watch in places. And I stumbled across one that I knew nothing about that had a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 100%.
Is this because only one person?
Well, that was my first thought. I looked further. I researched it further. It only had 5 critical reviews, but they were all positive. So it's a very, very small film.
I read about this. I saw Rotten Tomatoes the other day. And it's got great reviews. I read about it, yes.
Yes, I think it's done well in some festivals. This is a film called Antimatter. It's a very low-budget sci-fi set in Oxford with a small, unknown cast. There's not any recognisable actors in it.
The poster looks like it's Planet of the Apes.
That is because there is a sinister figure who wears a Planet of the Apes mask in it.
Oh, I thought when I watched, because I looked on Rotten Tomatoes as well to see what they'd given a man called Ove and had 100% on this. And I thought, isn't that a mistake having that on the Planet of the Apes? Can they legally do that?
Well,
have the Planet of the Apes mask as the actual poster.
Because Friday the 13th? No, which one? Halloween. Halloween has William Shatner's mask on it, doesn't it?
Is it William Shatner's mask?
The Halloween mask is a Inside Out William Shatner mask.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, bit of movie trivia for you.
But this one looks like it's planned.
Yeah, it does look, well, because it is a Planet of the Apes mask. But anyway, its other title is Worm, but it's now online on, I'm just looking it up, but it's on Amazon and iTunes and Sky Store and all the others under the name Antimatter. It's from 2016. I knew nothing about this film going in, and as soon as it starts, you
take off all of your clothes.
You immediately take off all your clothes and you dance around your cutlery drawer. It's very odd.
Very peculiar.
Yeah. But it immediately to me felt like Primer that we talked about before, where they don't shy away from talking about the science early doors. Now, Primer was a film we talked about a while back, which was another very low budget sci-fi film. This one was about time travel.
But you're watching the final product of about 20 time travels. So
if you've ever seen like a cartoon or they do it a lot in sort of comedy shows, like Comedy Bang Bang have done it and Red Dwarf have done it, but where every time they go back over their own timeline to fix something, something else goes wrong, so they have to keep going back and fixing it. Primer is only the final thing, and it's so confusing, but it does work, and it's very interesting and creative.
Shane Carruth, who's quite an auteur.
Anyway, Antimatter is not about time travel.
Thank God.
Antimatter is about some science students at Oxford University pretty much accidentally discovering they can teleport matter. They discover a method and they don't want to tell anyone. There's only three of them. And so they start doing stuff that is basically illegal so that they can prove it works, patent it, and make sure they are on top of it.
So it's not, they can't teleport it through time. They just teleport it
just through space. But what happens is the lead character, who is she's an American, but she has a Spanish accent. She's sort of Spanish American.
She sells it to Pizza Hut.
She teleports herself. She discovered it.
Has she not seen the fly?
She wants to. Well, exactly. Her character is called Anna, and from that point onwards, it all gets a bit weird because. And this is in the synopsis of the film. This isn't spoilers, really. She can seemingly no longer form new memories. So from that point onwards, it all gets a bit memento. But it's also got, why has this happened, as a question under it. And
someone left some bum juice in a...
Have you seen it?
Well, I just presume that.
It was bum juice in a jar next to... Oh, well, there's no point people watching it now.
What? Keep watching their films.
No, so basically it gets very trippy, basically.
Okay.
And you don't know who to trust and who's done what, but you see it through Anna's eyes, so you don't know what's happened either. And you know what? It's got some flaws, but it is a thoroughly enjoyable film, and it seemingly has. I couldn't track down how much it cost, but it's excellent. It's excellent. Based upon, you know, they've just had three people in a room, basically.
What did you what streaming service did you watch it on?
I'm trying to remember. I think we downloaded.
Have you not been through a time travelling thing, have you?
Yeah, well, because I look at them all. I think it was. Maybe it was Wacky or Google Play. I think it was Google Play, actually. I watched it on. But yes. So I won't spoiler it, but there's a few dodgy acting performances, but the main two women in it, who play Anna and Liv, are excellent. The main bloke in it is a bit... just sort of a posh man who doesn't... I don't know, it's not, he's not quite there. But it's because it's all using unknowns, and it feels almost like it's Friends of Friends, you know, making this.
Yeah.
And there's a very, very odd choice of actor playing a guy from GCHQ who seems like he's in like a jazz video or something. It's really odd, and he's terrible, but the rest of it is really interesting and enjoyable. Like, and you go, no, you know what, it wasn't my favourite film, but like, fair play, they've done.
Would you give it 100%?
No, I wouldn't. I'd probably,
me David, would you give it
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd enjoy it as much going through, but I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know what it was about. And it was like, oh, this is genuinely an enjoyable film. I'd probably give it 8.
That's good.
Yeah.
Support British cinema.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's called Antimatter, or in your country, depending on where you're listening to this, it may be called Worm. But track it down, because it's if you like sci-fi, it's well worth a punt.
Get it in.
Get it in your eyes and nose and ears and mouth. Films. Yeah?
That could have been our catchphrase.
Because you can't touch them, can you? But you can smell them and taste them.
Well, that is... Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That is about our 299th episode.
That's it. We'll see you in the 300th. But, yeah, until then, please do write to us. Why not tell us your pitch for your film that Marek and I will pick our favourite of if we get more than two?
Or you can donate to help us fund the podcast. That would be nice. Or on the website.
Why not do both while you're on our website, you know, and browse all of the old posters of casting challenges that we've not done in ages as well. All of that, it can be found on filmfandango.com. And as Marek says, please do donate if you've been listening over these 299 episodes. And you've got it all for free, you know, us talking like this. Marek has to come round to my flat every week. Imagine that.
I have to walk across a glass pathway.
Have you not found a better route yet?
No.
God, I'm sorry.
And with that hot poker up my ass.
Have you not taken that out yet?
Well, no, because it helps me go faster.
No, it does, doesn't it?
Because I can ignore the pain of the glass on cutting through my feet.
Because of your searing rectum.
Yeah, and I can't turn back.
You can't turn back. So you have to walk backwards again when you go home.
Well, no, I'd get the tube home.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. We'll be back next week for number 300. But in the meantime,
keep watching the films.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.